Man, it's so good to see so many people in church. Prop number one. I'm going old school today. Check it out. No more iPad. Notes today. Paper and pen. Everyone ready with their paper and pen to take notes? Right now, currently, my iPad is doing a second tour of Europe. And it's loving itself. It said, I don't want to come home yet, so I'd like to go around. So I believe today it's in Munich or Nuremberg in Germany, so not really sure. But you know when the bus driver says, check you've got everything before getting off the bus? Well, your wife should definitely check you've got everything before getting off the bus. And no, we're not blaming my wife. I know it was partially my responsibility. I grabbed 15 suitcases and 3 plastic bags, an umbrella and a beanie, and I said, darling, could you get everything else, which was an iPad? And she said, yes. I'm just kidding. But then I woke up. Anyone else had this moment? You wake up 4 o'clock in the morning, you think, I haven't seen that iPad last night. It's funny, I didn't see it. So I gently woke my wife up. Hey, bub. So, yes. I said, do you remember where I put my iPad? And she did this. You know that moment of realization where the eyes get real big and she's like, oh. So then I was just gracious and I said, oh, so you did leave it on the bus. It's not good in marriage. And who's doing the marriage course right now? How fantastic is the marriage course? Can we give Jamie and Lisa a massive hand for what they're doing? And I do know it's not just Jamie and Lisa, it's a whole team, but they're doing meals, they're doing movies, like as in the video presentation. It is such a great thing that we're doing for 15 couples to grow, to expand, to develop, and to deepen their relationship, so that hopefully they will also not blame each other for small and trivial mistakes. I should really do that, shouldn't I? Anyway, I should get onto my notes and my sermon. So, okay, here we go. Come on, we got Psalms. Well, oh, we could say thank you to the team. Well, aren't they great? They're like... So in case you're wondering, yes, I'm very distracted today because I haven't been here for like 3 weeks and it's kind of a little unusual to stand in front of so many beautiful people. I'm a bit nervous. No, I'm just kidding. Psalms 107 verse 1 says, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. And verse 2 says, let the redeemed of the Lord, who's redeemed in this house? Come on, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy. I believe God's going to do something this morning that is absolutely amazing. I believe he's going to break chains. He's going to remove shackles and burdens and bondages. He's going to give insight and understanding where you've never had it before. He's going to teach you something brand new if you're paying attention. I believe God wants to minister in this place and help us make a massive difference between, are you ready, stacking chairs or looking for ladders? That's the title of this morning's message. Are you stacking chairs or are you looking for ladders? And in a minute, that's going to make a bit more sense. But first of all, let me tell you a little story. Who's been in the building industry here? Put your hand up real high if you've been in the building industry. I know there's a few people. Who's seen some real wacky stuff in the building industry where instead of choosing to use a ladder like you should, you decide to do all sorts of different things like stack chairs up. I'm going to get, where's somebody really cool this morning? Jacob. I know you're not Jacob, but come on out, Jordan. It's been a few weeks. I forgot who you are anyway. Come on, Joseph. It's great. Now, I want you to just stand on the chair. Right? Who thinks that's pretty cool? Who thinks it's precarious? Who thinks he should go to the next chair? Did you hear health and safety, Lisa, from the front row?
No.
She did the big no. But I believe you can do it. So go stand on the next one. Oh, yes. Look at that. All right, get another stack. It's going to be amazing this morning. He's going to reach right up. No, I'm just kidding. Jump down. Man, over the time, give him a hand. Wasn't that great? Thanks, Jordan. Wasn't that great? You know what? I don't know about you guys, but I have seen some really strange stuff in the building industry. I've heard about strange stuff. I heard about a guy one time who decided he had to reach a stairwell void. And so what they had to do to reach a stairwell void, because there was nothing to put the plank on the other side, so he just put the plank out and then got his friend to stand on this end of the plank while he walked out on the other end of the plank on stilts. And as he started to walk, the plank started to wobble. So he came back again. He got his mate to hold a bag of plaster and then stand there again so he could go back out. And I'm like hearing this story, just dying on the inside, thinking that is a legal case right in the making there, right? Like that's a terrible thing. I've seen guys using, who's seen the buckets? Come on, you've been on the building industry. Who's seen the buckets or the milk crates being pushed around? And then one time, my favourite story was when I heard the guy who jumped up on the milk crate and his foot went right through the milk crate, so it caved in. And then because it's like spring-loaded, it sprung back and just dug into his leg. And I don't know about you, but plasterers aren't renowned for carrying a lot of tools. Like, you know, we're not that smart. We just have to pretty much have a scraper and a trowel and a hawk and we're done. And so then they're like, what do we do to get our foot out of this? So then they had to run around and try and find one of those really cool, smart people like an electrician or a roofer. As if roofers are smart. Just kidding. Man, if you're a roofer in here, I'm really sorry. Like, Neil, did you just yell that out real quick? You said roofer? Like, wow. Dude, that's not like, judge. Dear Lord, if any roofers over here, we just pray that they would be healed in Jesus' name right now. And then they had to get a set of tin snips. I should get one with my story and cut his leg out as it was digging in. So we know that sometimes when we choose to use something that's not made for that purpose, it ends badly. Sometimes when we're choosing to use something that's not made for the purpose to reach something, to reach a height, to go to a new level, to accomplish something, and can I say, in our own strength, we find ourselves faltering. Did you see the spit come out of my mouth just then? You are in the best spot right there, because that's anointed spit. So we should get that guy an umbrella. He could sit there all morning. It's awesome. But anyway, moving on. So I want to just say to you, sometimes, you know, when you're trying to do something, what does a ladder do? A ladder gives you access, doesn't it? A ladder gives you access to an area that you couldn't reach on your own. A ladder, an access to maybe a new level, like going into your attic or a different level of the building. A ladder gives you access to access something, to reach something, to grab hold of something, to take hold of something that maybe you couldn't get on your own. And the problem is, you don't need a ladder. You could make do with chairs. You could be stacking chairs. But if you keep stacking chairs and you keep using milk crates and you keep putting yourself out over a ledge with a friend holding a bag of plaster, eventually something is going to go wrong. How many people here have used an improvised ladder to reach, because in your heart you know, I should be reaching this, I should be attaining to this, I should go to a new level, but you're using an improvised ladder to reach what you think God is calling you to. Anyone, is that making sense so far? I want you to get this morning. Sometimes in marriages, you use an improvised ladder to reach a level of intimacy. Sometimes, I got a whole heap of things that I'm just going to move on with, but we're going to look at a gentleman in the book of Genesis, chapter 28. And if you've been reading along, you've seen this guy's name. You saw it last week. His name is Jacob. He was born the younger twin. Esau was the firstborn. Jacob was the secondborn. There was an incredible prophetic word that was declared over Jacob's life. And it said, the firstborn will serve the secondborn. So even before they'd come out, God had called Jacob to a new height. He called him to attain to something fresh and something different. Where history says normally it was the firstborn who gets the inheritance. It was the firstborn who was the pride of the family. In this case, it was the secondborn who would rise up, and the firstborn would serve the secondborn. But instead of Jacob trusting God, instead of Jacob going, God, I believe that you have a plan for my life, what Jacob did was he began to stack chairs. We saw last week when Jamie was preaching that Jacob began to stack chairs when Esau came in hungry. And he's like, give me some food, Jacob. And he said, sell me your birthright. And so we saw the story last week, how Esau sold his birthright for a bowl of stew, which leaves us with the question, what would you sell out for? What would you sell your birthright as a child of God for? When the enemy came to test Jesus in the wilderness, what did he say? If you command these stones to be turned to bread, will you sell out for bread? And he goes a bit further, he goes, will you sell out for fame? Will you jump off from the mountain and everyone will know? Why will you sell out? Will you sell out for all the kingdoms of the world? Esau sold his birthright for a bowl of stew. It was a phenomenal message last week that Jamie brought. And it leaves us with the question, if we can't take the scripture and apply them to our life today, then we're missing something. So the question is from last week, what would you sell out for? What would you sell out for? I would never steal. Well, unless it's convenient, I'm not going to get caught. What would you sell out for? And I think sometimes we get caught selling out, and that's Jacob and Esau's story, but it's also our story, but we're going to go on. Because we see a little bit later on in that story, in the same gospel message, in the same message we see in Genesis, how he goes through, he sells out for a bowl of stew, and then later on we see his dad is unwell and he's coming towards the end of his life and he really wants to bless Esau. He wants to put his hand on him. He wants to speak life over him. He wants to speak blessing over him. And he says, would you go out and hunt and get some venison for me and bring it in and I will bless you. And Jacob hears this, or his mum hears it, sends Jacob out. And Jacob runs and kills something and comes back in and feeds it. And he deceives his father by putting furs on his hand. And he continues, I'm going to say it like this, he continues to stack chairs to steal the birthright. He continues to stack chairs to get a blessing. He continues to do everything in his own strength instead of trusting God. He continues to do everything in his own strength. Are you still following me this morning? We're going to come to Genesis chapter 28. If you've been reading along, you're in Genesis chapter 28. And we're going to read this scripture. Jacob is sent away. He's sent away partly so he can get himself a wife and partly so he can avoid his brother's wrath. His brother, if you read on a little further, his brother wants to kill him for stealing his birthright. His brother wants to kill him for stealing his blessing. His brother is not happy. And Jacob flees from his brother, sent out by his father to find a wife. And we read this and we pick the story up in Genesis 28:10. It says, now Jacob went out from Beersheba and went towards Haran. Verse 11, so he came to a certain place and he stayed there all night because the sun had set. And he took one of the stones of that place and he put it at his head and he lay down in that place to sleep. You know, this is both literal and poetic. It's literal and symbolic. It's not just describing what is happening in the natural, it's describing what's happening in Jacob's soul. He's come to a place and the sun is setting and it's getting darker and darker. He's come to a place where the comfort and the friendly and the familiar is stripped away and all that's left is a bed of stones. And when you've got a stone for a pillow, you're in a bad place, right? You get that, don't you? When the scripture records that the softest thing you've got to lay your head on is a rock, that is not a good place. And so it's not just describing the natural, it's describing the spiritual, it's describing the state of his soul. As he comes to this place and the sun is setting and everything he knew, everything that was comfortable, everything that was familiar is now stripped away and all he has is a bed of rocks and a stone for a pillow. And I want to say to you tonight, you know, or today, if you're stacking chairs, no matter how good you are at stacking chairs, eventually it's going to bring you undone. Eventually it's going to lead you to a dark place. Eventually it's going to lead you to a place where you lose familiarity and you lose the friendships and you lose the comfort. If you're stacking chairs instead of trusting God, you are going to find yourself in a dark, dark place. So Jacob's in a dark place. He's stolen Esau's birthright. He's deceived his father for a blessing. He's running away and the sun is setting. The only place he can lay his head is on a rock. Have you ever felt like, man, everything I've done has come to nothing? Have you ever been in that dark place? I don't need you to put your hand up. But have you ever tried and tried and tried in your own strength Maybe you've tried to make a marriage work. Maybe you've tried to build a better business. Maybe you've tried to push into ministry. Maybe you've tried to enter into a position. You've tried and tried and tried in your own strength, and it feels today like you've just been stacking chairs. You feel sometimes like, man, I'm in a dark place. Man, I can't seem to find clarity. I can't seem to find light in this moment. I want to read on a little bit because I love the fact that the scripture brings a message of hope. Jacob is about to have a vision, and I believe today God is going to reveal things to people in this place. In Genesis chapter 28, verse 12, it says, "Then he dreamed a dream, and behold, a ladder was set up on the earth, and its top reached to the heaven. And there the angels of the Lord were ascending and descending." Jacob has a fresh vision. In this dark place, he has a fresh vision. And there in this vision is a ladder that's set up. And its top reaches from the heaven to the earth, and the angels of the Lord are ascending and descending upon it. "And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, 'I am the Lord God of Abraham, your father, the God of Isaac, and the land on which you lie I will give to you and your descendants. Also, your descendants shall be as the dust of the earth. You shall spread abroad the west and the east to the north and the south. In you and your seed, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go, and will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have spoken to you.'" In this dark place, Jacob sees a glimmer of hope. In this dark place where all the familiar and all the comforts are stripped away, Jacob dreams a dream and he sees for the very first time a ladder that's set up. Who set the ladder up? It's not a trick question. We can all get this. Who set the ladder up? God. Who stacked the chairs? Jacob. So Jacob's been stacking chairs, trying to reach a height, trying to attain to something that he knew he was called to, but he could never quite make it, and he finds himself in a dark place. But in that place, God gives him a vision and says, "Jacob, I've set up a ladder for you. Jacob, I need you to stop stacking chairs and start looking for ladders. Jacob, I am the God of grace. I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And I am with you in this place. And I am not going to leave you." And he gives him all these promises. You're going to be blessed. Your descendants are going to be blessed. You're going to inherit the land. But can I tell you the most precious promise he gives him? "Behold, I am with you." Jacob didn't build the ladder, God did. It is a ladder of grace. It's a ladder of grace. Grace is that unmerited favor and that blessing that you do nothing to deserve, and God in his infinite mercy and kindness and love decides to step into your dark place and show you a ladder of grace. What an incredible picture and a story. What a story that when we find ourselves in a dark place because we've been stacking chairs trying to attain to something that's been promised to us, trying to attain to something that we know is our birthright, but somehow we keep stacking chairs, and God steps into that dark place and says, "Stop stacking chairs. Stop trying to do it in your own strength. Behold, I am with you, and I'm going to set up a ladder." Man, I love this picture. I love the imagery that it shows. There are some great promises that God gives him. But the most precious promise is, "Behold, I am with you." And I just wanted to say that to you this morning. I don't care where you find yourself, God is with you. Doesn't matter whether you find yourself in a dark place. Doesn't matter if you find yourself in unfamiliar territory. Right here, God is with you. And can I say one more thing? God knows you by name. He knows you by name. I may get names wrong. Hey, Joseph. Love you, Jordan. But God doesn't get names wrong. God knows you by name. And I feel this morning as I was preparing for this message, I feel like over and over God just kept saying, "Can you please tell the people to stop stacking chairs and start looking for ladders? Stop trying to do it in their own strength and start trusting me. I am with you. Those things that you were looking for and trying to attain, those things that were always out of your reach when you were stacking chairs, are right within your reach when you're standing on God's ladder, when you're standing on God's grace. We're going to read on to Genesis chapter 28, verse 16. It says, then Jacob awoke from his sleep and he said, surely the Lord is in this place and I did not know it. Oh man, he's here and I didn't know it. And how true has that been for my life? How many times have I been in a dark place where the unfamiliar and the friends are stripped away, where the comfort's stripped away, and I'm longing for his presence and his grace and I just don't recognize it. And I'm praying this morning that people right here would go, God, you're in this place. You're in this place. You're in this place and I didn't even know it. You're here to do me good and I didn't even know it. I didn't realize this was part of your plan. I didn't realize that you had a better blessing for me than me trying to stack my own chairs. And he was afraid. And when we read the word afraid, we don't mean, oh, I'm petrified. We mean he was lost in reverent adoration and fear. And he said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. And this is the gate of heaven. This is the house of God and this is the gate of heaven. How often are we trying to reach up to touch him by stacking chairs, by doing stuff in our own strength, by trying to be good enough, pray enough, read the Bible enough, tithe enough, give enough, turn up at church enough, and all those things are good, but they're only stacking chairs. He says, I want you to trust in the ladder of grace. We're going to come to it, man, this is a crazy scripture connection here in a minute, but I just want to press in and go, man, some of you need to start to look for the ladder in your dark place, to stop trusting in your own ability, to stop and go, God, everything in me wants to stack chairs. Everything in me wants to do this in my own strength, and I'm just going to stop right now and say, God, I'm trusting you. Would you reveal to me the next step? God, would you reveal to me the ladder of grace and the ladder of hope? Are you good with this? Is this speaking to somebody? You know, Beck stood up here this morning and she prayed and she said, I believe that today chains are going to be broken off, shackles are going to be broken off people, porn addiction is going to be broken off people, people who are bound up is going to be broken off people. And I'm like, man, I stood there excited because I knew what I was preaching on. I believe today people are going to stop stacking chairs and start looking for the ladder. I'm going to jump. You ready? This is a good jump. Follow me for a second. Because I'm going to ask the question, who or what is the ladder? And here's where the connection gets made for me. As we come out of the Old Testament and into the New Testament, I'm going to draw a parallel and a picture for you found in the scriptures. Genesis 28 verse 12 to start with. Genesis 28 verse 12 says, then he dreamed a dream and behold, a ladder was set up on the earth and its top reached to the heaven. And there the angels of God were ascending and descending. He dreamed a dream and there was a ladder and the angels of the Lord were ascending and descending upon that point of contact where heaven and earth meet. The angels of the Lord are ascending and descending. Are you following me? We're going to jump over into the Gospel of John. And Philip has called Nathanael, his brother, and he said, come and meet this Messiah. Come and meet him. Come and see him for yourself. And we pick up the scriptures of the story in John 1:48. It says, now Nathanael said to him, how do you know me? And Jesus answered him and said, before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you. And Nathanael answered and said to him, Rabbi, I mean, like this blows my mind. Immediately, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. Just what? Because I said I saw you? And Jesus says to him, Jesus answered him and said, because I said I saw you under a fig tree, do you believe? You will see greater things than these. And here's the verse I want to come to, verse 51. He said to him, most assuredly I say to you, hereafter you shall see the heavens open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Aren't you glad that you don't all have to go to Bethel to find God's ladder? Aren't you glad you don't have to go to a geographic location to connect with God? Aren't you glad you don't have to go to a specific place or a certain time in history to connect with God? But we get to do it right here today. We get to know that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We get to know that Jesus will never leave you and never forsake you. We get to be a people that call out to say, God, I've been stacking chairs, but you are showing me today a ladder of hope and grace, not a thing, but a person. The person of Jesus Christ who stepped out of heaven to earth to become each person's connection, to become your divine connection between heaven and earth. That says to you today, no matter how dark it is, no matter how unfamiliar it is, no matter how uncomfortable it is, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will help you reach the places and the things that God has called you to reach if you would stop stacking chairs and start trusting me. Jesus wants you to see he's your ladder. He is your present help in a time of trouble. And all week, I've just had that bubbling in me, stop stacking chairs. And I feel like that's, can I just say, I know that's 100% a message for people here today, but it's also a message for me. How many times have I tried to stack chairs? How many times have I tried in my own strength to make the church get better and bigger? How many times in my own strength have I tried to improve my marriage, my ministry, my kids' lives? How many times do I stack chairs instead of going to my ladder of grace and finding the connection between heaven and earth is found in Jesus Christ, not in my own strength, but in his? I'm going to invite the music team to come. You guys are absolutely amazing. And today, I'm just going to invite you. If you've never made Jesus Christ your ladder, he so longs to be your ladder. He so longs to be the person that you trust in. In your dark times, in your tough times, in your good times. He wants you to trust him on the mountaintops and in the valleys. He wants you to trust him in the storms at sea, and in the sunny, beautiful days. He says, I want to be your ladder. Not at a certain time and place, not a certain geographic location, but every day, everywhere. I want you to trust me.
Thank you so much for joining us this morning. We hope you enjoyed the service. We are praying for you and we will see you next week.